Today I will believe and confess that Jesus Christ was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. And by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Amen, amen, amen. All right, so we're going to go ahead and get started in this message here. Every once in a while when we're out doing whatever it is that we do in our lives, we all come across challenges, things that want to take us down, things that want to move us away from what it is that God has for us. And sometimes it even sounds like God doesn't hear our prayers. And it's at those times that we have to really dig in and make sure that we recognize, know, and understand that God cares, that he cares about us, that he cares about every little bit of thing that we do to make certain that in our minds we recognize that he never sleeps, he doesn't slumber, he hears everything that we say. So before I get going a little bit too far, you know, God is our Heavenly Father. He's the one that keeps us in the right path. I'm going to do something here real quick. And will you? Come up here real quick, man. Let's come down here. So this little guy right here is my son. I'm going to stand up here because I was always taller than him, but now he's taller than me. So the Bible, there's a scripture in the Word that tells us that basically as fathers, as earthly fathers, there are certain things that we do, and how much more God will do for us as our Heavenly Father, right? So I remember back in 2020, when the pandemic started, it just kind of cut everything short. You know, all of us were kind of here with our eyes wide open. Many people felt despair, felt like God had basically left the earth. Some people were. Now, I'm talking to you guys. I don't feel like you guys felt like that, but many people did. And it was during that time that I was very, very concerned as an earthly father about this young man, because I knew there were some things that he wanted to accomplish, some things that he wanted to achieve, and as no fault of his own, he wasn't able to do it. It was delayed. Sometimes God delays things for us as well. And I called him up here because God loves each one of us more than any other thing that we do, more than our business, more than our ministry, more than your goals and desires. He wants to see us with the desires of our heart. But again, God cares. And I brought him up here because it would have been nice if he was like five. I could pick him up and hold him and tell, you know, but that day is over with. He's a little bit big for that. But I brought him up here because he is my son. I have a daughter as well, but he's my son. I care for him. I love him. I want to see the best for him. But the biggest thing for me as a father is to make sure that I endure to the end. He, at some point, he'll have his own whatever going on in his life and things of that nature. But it's imperative for me to continue to instruct him where I can, to give him his space as God does for all of us, because God has given us our instruction, the Word of God, and also to be as good a dad as I can be, to make sure that where I see things going on in his life, I try to keep him in that narrow focus. So I'm going to go ahead and let him sit down. Thank you, William. I know I didn't keep you up here too long, but he's pushing on, and I'm proud of him. But I wanted to do that because I want, one, him to be encouraged, and I want all of us to be encouraged. And hopefully by the time we get to the end of this message, we will all have an idea of how God cares for us. We'll know a little bit about his benefits for us, and then that we also have to endure to the end. So what I'm going to do here is I want everyone to go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. And so we're going to put our Bible track shoes on because we're going to do a little bit of going through the Word, and I think that's okay because we're in church. And so we'll do that because I want to go through these scriptures to make sure that we all recognize that Brother Chris is not just making this up in his head, right? When you get to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 through 7, let me know. And also, it'll be up on the monitor. It's not that long, but we'll talk real quickly about it. So I'm going to go ahead and read. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties or cares on him, because he cares for you." Okay? So here we see that God cares for us. He does. And it's during this time when I started thinking about what I was going to talk about when I came before you guys, I didn't know the series of events that were going to take place in my life and in my family's life. And so I feel very certain that this is exactly what God wanted you all to hear as well as myself, because I'm preaching to myself and to my family as well as to you guys as well. But we recognize the first thing in that scripture, it says, humble yourselves. So as we come before God and as we are under his mighty hand, when he does what it is, we have to make sure that we are humble before him. If we're not humble before him, many times we will miss, and many times we can even put off some of the things that God wants in our lives. So the cares that he has for us is there. There's nothing we can do about it, no matter what we say or do. Now, we can derail some things. We can put ourselves in a position where it makes it much worse for us. But if we stay humble before God, there are some things that he's going to do. He says at the proper time, he will exalt you. It's going to get you up. So whatever situation you're in, not that we serve God to be exalted, but he's going to exalt you if you humble yourselves before him and stay in front of him. All of your anxieties, all of your cares, you don't have to worry about that. Sometimes I find myself worrying about things. Things jump off. I don't have an employee that's supposed to be where they're supposed to be. It can be very, very, very frustrating. I talk to people all the time that have businesses and, oh, my employee didn't come because X, Y, Z, or this happened. I don't even worry about it anymore. I don't. Lord, that's for you. Now, I have to work. I got to go and maybe make a phone call or two. But even if that person doesn't show up, it's not a problem for me anymore, because I recognize, one, God cares for me. He has some benefits. And as a result of his care for me, he's not going to let me fall if I stay humble before him. So that's where I'm trying to be, and that's where I'm trying to encourage everybody, so that when those things, those small foxes that spoil the vine, when those things come in our lives, we can stand firm and recognize God got this. You ain't got to worry about, you got to work. The Bible says that man don't work, he shouldn't eat. That's a given. However, in those times when you've done all you could do, where you stand and you stay, and things don't go the way it should, you keep pushing, you keep persevering, you keep moving forward. Let's move to Isaiah, if you will, in your word, in your Bible. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13. I said we're going to put our biblical track shoes on today, so here we are. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13. It's not a long verse, but we're gonna go through and read it. Does everybody have it? I heard Brother Douglas out there. Oh, yeah, he got it. So let's go ahead and read it. It says, "For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you." So I'm just up here preaching the word to you guys. To me, it's encouraging because it's, like I said, had a lot of things go on the last few days that could really get me down. But what I've also understood is that before you get to these situations, and what's interesting about this, a couple weeks ago, I was having a conversation with someone, and I was just telling them, the time to pray is now while things are going good in your life. That's the time when we want to be on our knees, we want to be before God. Because when things get hard, sometimes, you know, you got so much going on, you're not able to get there as you should, even though we should obviously be in front of God praying. But it's during those times that we want to be encouraged about what's going on and thanking God for his goodness, for keeping us where we are and giving us strength to go through those rough times. But here it says, he's the Lord your God. He holds your right hand. It is he who says to you, fear not. I am the one who helps us. So if we got God helping us, we don't have those worries. We should, again, be encouraged about where it is that he's bringing us. There are certain things that we must go through to be strengthened. And sometimes we have to recognize, Lord, this is what we're going through. There are certain things in life that happen. People get sick. Even though we pray for divine health and things of that nature, those things happen. We live in a fallen world. There are all kinds of things that go on. You know, we're thankful for April and Harry's baby, but sometimes babies don't come in that same way that, you know, we would always want them to come, perfectly healthy. Because is that God's fault? No, not necessarily. That's because we live in a fallen world. But we don't have to fear because God said he's the one who helps us. Not just any old time. We don't have to live in fear, but we recognize that God is the one that helps us. Let's go to Psalms, 23rd Psalms, a familiar verse. Let's read about that. And again, we're talking about how God helps us. We're racing through some scriptures that shows that God cares for us. Psalms 23. And if you would, in the back, let's put the whole chapter of Psalm up there, 23rd Psalm. Kind of change that a little bit. If you got it, say amen. 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 Okay, well, we're going to, after I take this sip of water, we're going to read through that right quick, okay? All right, so it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Let's stop right there. The Lord is my shepherd. He's the one that watches out, watches over us. He keeps us. He said, we will not want. If the Lord, so, you know, I learned this scripture when I was a little kid. Many of you probably did the same. But as I went in and kind of broke it down a little bit, I was just like, wow, how awesome God is. The Lord is my shepherd. And if you know anything about shepherds, they keep watch. They usually have other agents, like either a dog, a shepherd dog. The dogs keep watch so wolves don't come and get his sheep. Some people even use donkeys, believe it or not. Donkeys are really good because they're protective, they're honoring. And if you mess with a donkey, they'll try to get you, and they kind of take care of themselves. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to hardly even feed them. They kind of take care of themselves. But there are other agents there that help to watch over the flock. God puts, and I used to wonder as well, why as a kid, why they had so many churches? I wonder, I really would. Why is there a church on each block? But I understand now that everybody has a different flavor of doing things. And so he puts different shepherds in different places so that people that are liking their beliefs, as long as they're believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his baptism, death, and resurrection, then you're okay. So everybody's not going to be here. Everybody's not going to be at a different church. However, those churches and places are needed for a myriad of reasons. We won't go into all of that. But again, God is our shepherd. He has different agents out there to shepherd us. So that we, and we shall not be in want. He didn't say we might not be in want. He said we shall not be in want if we are of his flock, okay? He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Green, if you're here in Louisiana, it might not seem like a whole lot to us, but if you drive out west, you see dry. Green means it's lush. There's water and there's all kind of stuff. And it wasn't until when I was younger, I left here, I was like, why is this, what's all this dust and brown grass and all of that, because I wasn't really accustomed to that, especially during the summertime. But he said he'll make us lie down in green pastures. He said he leads us beside still waters. Still waters are calm. If you've ever been by a brook that runs, it's the most peaceful thing. You can almost just fall asleep there. Still waters are great to be by because sometimes wavy waters can do some things to your mind. It can be a little disturbing. If you've ever been somewhere where there was a storm going on or a hurricane and it was pushing that water, you know what I'm talking about. And most of us from Louisiana, if you haven't been by it during those times, you've probably seen it. But he says he leads us beside still waters, not rough waters. He restores my soul. So when my soul is depleted, when I've been out working all six of those days and that seventh day, well, most of us work 5-day weeks. It's getting a little shorter now. Some of us are working from home. But when you work those 6 days and you come to that seventh day, as God created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh, when we rest, he restores our soul. He gives back to us. Because sometimes, you know, when you're out there doing what you do, you're dealing with folk in the world. And it makes you want to say some things that you shouldn't say. It makes you want to act in some ways that you should not act. And it makes you want to grab somebody sometimes. So you have to be restored. You have to, by the word, by praying, by getting in front of God. Because again, God cares for you. He restores our soul because he cares for us. That's why he does it. Because he doesn't want us going out there. Because we can't shame God by our craziness. You can't. God is eternal. God has been there. You can't shame him. We're supposed to be agents here on earth that are talking about God, that are living in a way that's acceptable to God. That's what we're supposed to do. But when we get outside of ourselves and blow our witness, say that thing or do that thing that we're not supposed to, we're not shaming God. We're shaming ourselves. And again, we have to be humble, come back, do what we're supposed to do, and get before God so that our souls can be restored. Said he leads them in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So we'll stay right there just a second. So you've probably seen back in the Bible days when David was out, they had staffs, and they had things of that nature to steer their sheep to, if there's a predator or something that's dealing with their sheep, they use that staff to move that predator away. If you remember, it was David that said he slew a bear with his own hands. He probably had his staff to keep whatever predators that were there away. This is how God is with us. He says his rod and his staff, they comfort me. So we have the comfort of knowing that God is fighting for us. We should, again, let's be encouraged with what God is doing for us in our lives. Let's go to the next verse. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. We'll stay there. So he prepares a table before me. Again, he said we will not be in want. Whatever is on that table is prepared for you. Now, each of our tables may be a little bit different. I like seafood. I like Italian. Some of y'all might not like what I like. But God knows each of our wants. He knows all of what we need. And again, I'll continue to say it, God shows, and these scriptures show, that God cares for us, okay? So whatever it is, he's prepared for us in the presence of our enemies. He says he's going to show our enemies what it is that he has for us. And we don't have to go out and tell anybody. We don't have to go out and spend money on a fancy car. You don't have to do any of that, because that's not so much what he's talking about. What he's talking about is he's going to give us the victory in the presence of our enemies. He's going to prepare us and have us in a place that when your enemies come against you, they will not be able to overcome you. Because if you stay in the word, stay humble, if we cry out to God in those times of need, he's there, and we should know it. God cares, okay? Next verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Lord, Lord God, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So again, God's care for us. We have to do our part, which is stand before God, not letting go when things get rough, because there are times that things are going to get tough. There are tough things going on right now, but I'm not letting go of God. Where else am I going to go? Who is my help? That's all I know. I don't know anything else, and for all of my life, it has worked, not just worked, it has been correct for me, and it has kept me in a place where I can stay on that straight path, and when I look to the right or I look to the left and I see what's going on, I understand it's not right. So the good life that God is giving to us, the goodness and the mercies that he has, helps us to see, especially in this day where there's so much access to evil, that that's not right. Because, you know, the devil doesn't come with these horns with all kind of craziness to you, presenting you crazy just right there. He's a agent of light. He makes it look like it's right. And if we don't stay affixed to what it is that God has for us, if we don't daily stay in the word, if we don't daily pray and ask God for his assistance and help, it's easy to accept the wrong for right. The Bible talks about in this hour that what's right will be called wrong, what's wrong will be called right. And we're seeing that each and every day. So it's important, again, sheep, as I am a sheep, that we stay with the master shepherd so that we recognize and know he cares for us. He does. Again, I just want everybody to be encouraged. Let's move to Psalms 34, 17 and 18. Psalms 34, 17 and 18. If you got it, say amen. Okay, so it says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Let's stop right there. When the righteous cries for help, and I'm going to believe, I'm praying that everybody in here would be considered the righteous. And we're not righteous because we're righteous. We're righteous because of Christ and what he did on the cross, right? But it says, when the righteous cry for help. So Harry and April are dealing with this. I'm lumping them in. I think he's online, so I guess he's hearing all this. But when Harry and April hear baby Landry crying, right, they jump. They're moving. They're about their business. They want to know, is she wet? We need to change a diaper. Is she hungry? Do we need to feed baby Landry, right? Is she sick in any way? Let's get the thermometer. Let's check the baby. Let's do whatever we need to do to make sure she's well. Well, God knows everything. God knows when we're in distress. He knows that. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He knows it. But right here it says, when the righteous cry for help. Why we got to cry if God already know? And that's the argument a lot of people put out there. Why we got to do this if he already know? Because he says so. And I understand the New Age stuff. You know, I talk to a lot of young people all the time. And in their mind, it's like, you know, it's just a little bit different for them. You know, you got to tell them everything. Some of y'all I know what I'm about to say. Some of y'all may not. When I was raised, my mama told me one time. It wasn't like, hey, boy, go over there and do this. And you look at her and go do something else. If you did, you're going to wish you did not. Because she's going to help you to understand that her voice was supreme in that house at that time. And it was four of us, four boys. And she took care of business, right? So she made certain that we were on top of it. The Bible tells us what to do. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. So a cry, I'm talking in a voice where I'm presenting right now, but a cry is louder than this. So I've had some times when I've cried out to the Lord, and it was more like, Lord, Lord God, thank you. I need you now. And I had one of those situations not long after I got married. I remember it like it was yesterday. So when I moved here, my purpose for moving to Baton Rouge, I took my, well, it was my second job, but I came here to sell ads. I was in ad sales. It's Cox now. It was under a different name at the time. And so when I came down here, the job would pay me basically a salary. They paid me a salary at the time, but that salary only went for a couple years. And by the time I got here, the position that I got, all of the good ads and agencies had already been taken up. So I was out there scratching and clawing and trying to make things happen here in Baton Rouge, right? Now, after this, I knew God cared for me because after those 2 years were up, I was here a year, worked, I got married, my wife came down here, and at after the first year of us being married, which kind of coincided with that time frame, I had to go on complete commission. I was scratching. I didn't know anybody in Baton Rouge. I didn't have anybody that I could call. I didn't know none of you guys at the time. Maybe I wish I would have. I might still be doing that. But I didn't know anybody. So when I got that first commission check, Lord, help. Help me, Lord. God, help me. $15 was my commission check. Oh, that's right. Oh, Lord, that's what I was thinking. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Lord. So I cried out. Guys, that was so embarrassing to show that little check to Sandra. I was like, and I'm sure she was like, brother, this was not what I was anticipating here. $15 checks, what's going on? So I remember crying out, and he said, and he did. He delivered me from my trouble in that instance and others. The scripture also says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and save the crushed in spirit. And this was during this time, definitely a scripture that I needed to hear because, you know, there as I've mentioned, there's some things that are going on. I know some folk that's spirits are basically crushed, and they need to hear this. We need to hear this word. You know, when people are in those situations, we can talk to them and we can do whatever, but sometimes it's best just to listen. And if you can present the word to them, you present that word to them. And of course, we try to have kind words when people have folk that pass or whatever is going on or, you know, having illnesses and things of that nature. But, you know, it's always important that if we can somehow deliver the word to them and let the word minister to people and let them know that God cares, that if you, hey, man, I know it's going bad for you, but just cry out. Ask God. He hears you. Saved or not. If you're saved, if you're not saved, you need to help that person understand what Jesus Christ did for us. And if you're saved, you need to recognize, because again, the devil will try to draw you down to a place where you don't have a voice to cry out to him. And you need to do that sometimes, men included. You know, sometimes it just seems rough. And not a cry out where when something happens, I cry, but where you come before God in your quiet time. You make your voice known to him, okay? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. And I promise y'all, we're getting somewhere with this. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. It says, does everybody have it? Yes? Okay, so it says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsaken. I'm going to read that again. It says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Again, God cares. He cares for us. God knows we all need some cash. We do. God has already said, you need to work. Let him take care of the rest of those things, right? He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So if that is the case, it is our job to be about our business, work, find a job, do whatever it is we're supposed to do. Try to manage that. If you're not good at managing money, find somebody that can help you to do however. If you're one of these people that you spend all your money, find somebody that can help you hold your money. Pray, because that ain't good. You need to be able to hang on to a little bit of it. But ultimately, it doesn't mean that if you make a little bit and you don't have it, God is going to take care of you. I'm coming, and I'm not all the way there yet, but I want to be in a place where I recognize, and I'm just being honest with you, I'm not all the way there, but where I recognize that even without a job, God can take care of me. Because he doesn't, nowhere in here does it say you must have a job in order for me to take care of you. It talks about working. Yes, it does. But it doesn't say you have to have it. God will, as long as we humble ourselves before him, he's going to take care of you. Now, like Sister Miranda said up here a little while ago, and as Pastor said last week, I'm not telling you to quit your job. You need to make certain that you know what it is that God has for you. And when you're certain of that, then you go about doing that. Because all of us have things that we would want to do possibly, and there may be some that are there right now, so I don't know that. But all of us have things that we would want to do away from our job or our business. And as long as it's glorifying God, then you need to seek God to find out whether or not that's something you need to be doing. And from what I've experienced, the hardest thing about running your ministry or running your job or your business or whatever is the planning stage. And so when we're here doing whatever it is we do, we have to make sure that we are planning out our time first with God, because the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. Amen. So you have to seek him first before you do any of that stuff. I don't care how much money you have. It doesn't matter, because there are businesses that fail every day. There are big businesses that fail all the time, because nothing is guaranteed other than what God tells you. And it's not beneficial unless God tells you. Money is great. God knows we need to eat. There's all kinds of things going on, but he will take care of us. He will not leave us, nor will he forsake us. Okay, so I have one more scripture I want to go through. And all of these scriptures, guys, I prayed about them and we pulled these together because I just want you to know that God cares for each of you. He does. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. I'll give you a second to get there and we'll read through it. Everybody got it? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 through 4. I didn't hear too many, so I'm going to give it. I hear some amens. Amen. Amen. All right. So let's read. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Okay, so here we see that God calls himself the God of all. He's basically the God of all comfort. He comforts us in those anytime, whether in need, whether not. He comforts us in all of our afflictions. So whatever's going on, God's going to take you. You're sick, you need money, you need peace, you need some joy, whatever it is, he will comfort us through these things. Now, you may still have to go through those things. So we don't want folk to say that, oh, well, God's not a genie. We don't rub bottles and God just make all our problems go away. We seek him and he brings us, we humble ourselves before him and he brings us through those things, right? He's the Father of mercies and he's the God of all comfort, of all, not some comfort, of all comfort through our afflictions. And it's with those comforts, it says, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted of God. So as we are comforted, we should also comfort other people. As we go through things, many times God is using us to do things, to go through things so that we can then turn around and help other people. And so, as I mentioned, as I was doing this, I did not realize that I would be going again through some of the things that I am going through. But God, again, through this scripture and through the research and looking at this, has lifted my spirits and has comforted me and hopefully my family as well, so that we recognize that regardless of what happened, God is good. He cares for us, okay? He cares for us. So now, we've declared through these scriptures that we read and that we just went through that God cares for us. So nobody should, there are many more scriptures in the Bible that talks about this, so nobody at this point that's in here or watching should be in distress that God doesn't care. You know, he brings us the 23rd Psalms where we know that the Lord is our shepherd. We know that if we cry out before God, righteous cry to him, he's going to help us. All of these things we talked about. But the next thing, so and I'll just kind of use the example of jobs. You know, whenever we're out looking for jobs, most of us want jobs that have benefits. All of us may not have benefits on our jobs, and if you don't, work as unto the Lord, and God will take care of you and will bring you to where you need to be, or he will give you what you need in order to make it, right? But we all want those benefits, and it's nice sometimes. You know, it's nice having a job where they give you a car, or you got free health insurance and free life insurance, or even an expense account where, you know, you go out and you can hobnob and do the things that you need to do, and the company takes care of it. Some companies even give you a bonus at the end of the year. And you do a great job, and they give you a little extra dollars for whatever it is you do, right? So all of us want those benefits. So let's go to Psalms 103, 1 through 5. Let's go there. And we're going to talk about some of the benefits. And this scripture is known as God's benefits package. So we're going to talk about some of God's benefits. So we know he cares for us, but he also gives us some bennies, as we call it, benefits. So I'm going to read that. If everybody has it, say amen. 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 All right, so let's read. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Okay? So these are five of God's benefits right here. So it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits." The first benefit is that he says, he forgives all your iniquity, all your sin. All you have to do is accept him, believe, be on that path of following after Jesus. And he said, he forgives you of all your iniquity. Now, people always say, they always have the little statement, God knows my heart. And he does. He does. He knows all of our hearts. But it's very important that your heart is fixed and stayed on God, because he knows your heart. And so what I've seen what it appears to me like, and what I see many times, is people kind of doing what Paul says, people sinning and then just asking for this forgiveness as though it's just this willy-nilly thing, and, I do whatever, I cuss them out, but God gonna forgive me. It's good. Now, if you did cuss them out, yes, you ask for forgiveness and you try to stay away from cussing people out, because that's just not a real good example. But if you did, if you're just one of these people that just cuss people out and ask God to forgive you, you're on a slippery slope, because it really doesn't work that way. There's something that we have to endure as Christians. Yes, we come before God, we give our life to him, we believe upon the cross, right? That's what this is. But then after that, there's some work that takes place. God is always working on something. He's not, he created the earth, he has the earth in motion, but he's working in and through each of our lives, right? And so as such, we have to stay and keep our mindset, our focus, on what we are supposed to be doing in accordance with the word. Because if we're not, it's easy to get off and start with that, oh, God knows my heart stuff, that really ain't cracked up to a bunch of anything, and starts leading us on this path to hell. And that ain't where we're trying to go. We're not trying to get off the path and start doing things that lead us in that direction. We want to stay focused so that when we do ask for forgiveness, when it says here, who forgives all your iniquities, when we ask God, we can be sincere about asking us, and when we repent, even those things that we don't know we did, we can ask God. The things that we do know we did, we come before, we talk about it when we take communion. Strength, health, and long life. When we take communion and we commune with God, we should have that expectation. But if we're not communing with God and we're just doing anything and saying, well, God know my heart, again, guys, we're on a slippery slope and that's not where we want to be. But one of our benefits is he forgives all of our iniquities, which is probably our greatest benefit, that he came and died and forgives us of our sins. He said he also heals us of all our diseases. We should have an expectation of that as a Christian. And as we grow, as our faith is strengthened, as we grow nearer and nearer and dearer to God's heart, again, we shouldn't be like the world, where when things go on, we feel like, oh, this happens or that happens. Again, I will not stand up here and say you should not take medicine. You should. Just like I know a lot of people that are humanistic that will say, well, God made medicine for the health of his people. Yes, that's true, and I believe that. I also believe, too, that we should do what the word says, that when we're sick, we should call upon the elders of the church. There are things that we should do. We should anoint them with oil. We should pray the prayer of faith, and ye shall be healed. I believe that because he says he forgives all of our iniquity. He heals all of thy diseases. And so it's fine to rely upon your doctor, but I rely upon Jesus first. That's why he got up on that cross, stretched out his arms, and died so we could have that. And it's very interesting when I talk to some people, not none of y'all, none of you guys, but when I talk to some people that are believers, and I believe that they are believers, they look at me with a side eye, like they see me with not just this head, but another, like I have two heads for saying that. I rely upon God for my healing. And it gets really quiet. Thank you, Brother Douglas. And I'm sure some of you all do as well. But to me, and again, we're not all strong in every facet. There are certain facets that, y'all look at me like, boy, what's wrong with you? But when it comes to faith and healing, I believe that God, and I not just believe it, we've seen it here. There's a board back there that talks about all kind of healing that God has performed in this church. And I know in my life, he has healed me from certain things that I just was like amazed, because one day I decided I would put God to task. And I said, every spring, so when it would go from winter to spring, or when it would go from like fall, summer to fall, or fall to winter, when the weather would change, I would always get this infection in my throat. And I would have to stack up on Theraflu. I would go buy a Theraflu, man, I'd get like two boxes, and I'd take this Theraflu, and it would knock it out after a while. But I got tired of it. This went on for probably 12 years. I don't even know if I was, I was a member here. I had been here. But it had gone on for a while, and I finally got tired of it. Every time it would come, and I heard the message from this stage pulpit about Jesus being our healer. And so I said, I'm going to put God to task. Lord, you said, and yeah, I had to endure a little bit, but what I can also say is over the last 17 years, that hadn't happened. I hadn't taken any Theraflu because God is my healer. Amen. He cares for me as well as you, but you have to put him to task. And for the for those that are you know, brainy, academics, there's a methodology to this for me. And the methodology to this healing thing for me is, if I can't get over that, how am I going to go to God for something bigger? And I know many of you all have heard that. So if I can't get over a little sore throat and a cough, it's hard for me in my mind to believe that God is going to fix something that's much, much more, as we categorize it in our human minds, that's much, much more detrimental. And so I figured I'd start there and try to work my way up. And what I can say, guys, is if I had a gong, I'd hit it, because God has been faithful. He has kept me. And I'm not bragging on Chris. There ain't no brag here on me. My boast is in the Lord. Because even the things that we're going through now in our family, sicknesses and things of that nature, I give it all to him. And when people come to me and say, well, you know, whatever God's will is, I kind of know what that is. That's kind of assent to, well, you know, if they die, if they don't die, then it's God's will. No, that ain't God's will for us to die. If we're doing what we're supposed to do, and even many times when we're not, meaning that, you know, sometimes people talk about what we eat and did you exercise? Did you do all of these things? That's true. We should. And we should be about it. But sometimes we miss. God's will, he says it. He says, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. God's will, I am come so that we might have life and have it to the full, have it more abundantly. God cares for us. One of his benefits is healing us from these diseases, taking all of these things away. Now, again, I'm not telling anybody to do, you do what you want to do. That's what I love about this place here. Nobody lock you up and make you do this, or you got to do this or do that. You don't, you do what you want to do. I know for the last 17 years, I ain't took no Theraflu. I ain't took no Theraflu. And I don't plan on taking any more. Now, something happens and I have to take something, so be it. But I'm going to stand on the fact that God is going to take care of me, and I'm going to do what I got to do to take care of me. And I'm going to keep praying to him that he continues to be faithful in my life and continue to heal me of these diseases and all of this stuff, right? So let's keep going. The next benefit, so we know the second benefit is he heals us from these diseases. It says, who redeems your life from the pit. So I told y'all a little bit about a pit with a little check that I had. That was small. But he said he'll redeem us from the pit. The pit is, well, everybody pretty much knows what a pit is, but back in the day, when they would put people in prison, sometimes they would dig a deep pit, and they'd put you down in that pit, and you couldn't see light or anything. And I think, you know, the older you get, the more you will see sometimes, and not that you stay there, but we've all found ourselves in that pit where we just don't feel like we can get out. And many times, it's worse for people even that, well, everything is bad. You know, if you're in a situation, if you're in the pit, it's bad. But it can be even worse for people that have certain addictions, whatever those addictions may be. I won't go into anything specific, but an addiction is an addiction regardless. And many times when people want to get out of that, they're in the pit because they don't feel like they can get out. And it is in those times that we really need God. We need those benefits. We need to be able to talk to those people and tell them, hey, man, I got all of that. Yes, do your AA meetings or whatever you're doing. But I got a better benefit for you from the creator of all heavens and earth, who created us all, who knows us, who knows what's going on in your mind, who knows why you can't pull yourself away from whatever it is. This God says he has a benefit, and that benefit is he will redeem your life from the pit. Whatever pit you're in, whatever pit you've been in, God gonna put that rope down there. He'll tell you, tie it around yourself. He'll even tell you how to tie it if you seek him good enough. And will drag you up out of that pit to bring you where you need to be. Amen? The next benefit is, he said, he crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. He crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefit. His benefit is to crown you with steadfast love and mercy. I know that God has done that for me. He's crowned me with love, unspeakable love, but mercy as well. And not just the mercy he's had on me. And I think at this point in my life, because I was the brat in my family. I was the baby for 7 years. And so I'd cry and pout about all kind of stuff and didn't have a lot of mercy. And still watching myself to make sure that I have mercy on situations and things as well. But I know it's because of God that I find myself more forgiving of people, that I find myself, even though I may get upset sometimes and stomp my foot, pound on the desk or whatever, you know, I'm just asking God to continue to help me to show mercy on others so he can continue to have mercy on me. And so God said that's a benefit that he gives us, steadfast love and mercy that he gives to us. So that's the fourth benefit, amen? So the next one, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So I'll tell you a little bit about this scripture. So that's the fifth one. He satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So eagles are big, powerful birds. But one thing I learned about eagles, and I'm a nature lover. I like being out in it. I like animals. I like seeing them. Not that I deal with them a whole lot. But eagles are big birds. They're fierce. They hunt. They scavenge. They do all kind of things. But one thing I learned about eagles is that they molt. So they lose their feathers, and it takes about a year and a half for those feathers to be replaced on their body. And so the feathers is what helps them to fly so high. Eagles fly higher than any other bird. They get up, they soar. In fact, sometimes when little sparrows and stuff start messing with them, trying to get them away from the nest, if they get tired of a bird or a raven or something, whatever, that's just kind of picking at them. Because really, if the eagle wanted to kind of kill him, he probably could if he could catch him. Sometimes he just flies up high. And that's how he finds his prey and all of the other things that he needs. So it says here that he satisfies you with good, that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Eagles are very strong birds, and that youth that they're talking about is the strength that an eagle has. An eagle can take down a deer, which is a fairly large-sized animal. I don't know if any of you guys have ever seen a deer. They're big enough to fly off. We had a dog at one time. I didn't put him in the backyard because I started seeing eagles. Actually, we have eagles in and around this area. I saw one not too far from here the other day. They more so start off in the marshes. If you see them, they build these big nests in trees, at the top of trees, and they're becoming more and more populated here. But when we had our puppy, we didn't put him outside for the first several months because he wasn't big enough, and I was afraid that an eagle or something would swoop down and kill it, take it off and eat it. So eagles are very strong and powerful birds. They fly high. Their strength, the youth that they're talking about in an eagle, that when you're renewed, God will give back to you strength, even as you grow older, to handle whatever it is that you need, just like he does for eagles. Eagles hunt, continue on all the way up towards the end of their lives. So those are benefits that God gives us. And I've seen people that, I'll share this, that are older, that have a certain type of strength and gusto about themselves. So we had taken a trip last Sunday, and we got back Thursday. And so, Thursday morning, early Thursday morning, and we had to bring the truck back to the rental. And so we were out putting gas in the truck, and this guy rides by on his bike, falls down on the ground, busts his head and his eye, and my son was out pumping gas, and he called me, and I was like, what is going on? So we get out the truck. I get out. My dad, who's 86 now, gets out. And we're like, what's going on? So we sit here and have this conversation with this young man. And he's drunk. He's like very, very drunk, riding a bike. So he was CWI, cycling while intoxicated. And so he falls down and busts his head. And so we're trying to get questions. He doesn't know where he is. His phone is broke. We don't know where to go. And so my dad says, well, man, we're not going to leave you out here. We're going to help you. You know, we're going to try to get you. So the guy starts saying, which we've learned here over in North Baton Rouge sometimes, when you come across people that are in trouble, I said, well, look, man, we'll call the police. He's like, no, no, don't call the police. Don't call the police. Please don't call the police. So in his inebriated state, he continues on, y'all don't know, y'all go, don't call, y'all calling the police, don't call the police. So he keeps going on and on with this thing about the police. And I'm kind of like, okay, man, all right, we're not going to call the police. We're going to help you. So finally, we get this whole situation going. I tell them to, I'm trying to think how, oh, so I send them home. My dad and I, we stay there with the guy. He brings the rest of the family home, comes back with the other truck because we didn't have space to put his bike in there. We didn't want to leave his bike. So we do all of that. I had a bike rack in the back of the truck, put his bike on the back of the rack. And so we're getting ready to bring the guy home, and he doesn't know where he's supposed to go. So he finally kind of gets out a couple words wherever he stayed. We look it up. We start bringing the guy home. So where we brought him, there were no lights on. The place that he said, yeah, this is the place. We bring him over there. So I said, okay, let me get out, get his bike. We're going to be careful with this because, granted, it's like 1 in the morning. His head's busted. His eyes busted. I'm not bringing him up there and getting shot or somebody trying to beat me up thinking that I beat the guy up some kind of way. So I said, okay, we're going to do this in stages. I'm going to go get his bike. I put his bike over there. And so when I got out to get the young man's bike, which is the point that I'm trying to make, I bring it over. The guy's trying to get out. Now, he can barely stand up. So my dad is in the passenger seat, and the guy starts saying some stuff that my dad didn't like. My dad's 86. He was in here the other day. You know, he's in decent shape, but I guess maybe that's where he and all of his boys, well, me and all my brothers get all of this from. The guy starts saying something, so my dad was like, okay, you're going to have to be quiet. You're going to shut up. You know, and so finally, the guy tries to get out. Man, my dad moved quicker than Michael Jordan. He got out, spun around, pushed the door in. Like, boy, I told you to stay down. So I was like, Daddy, hold on. Daddy, it's good. It's good, Daddy, it's good. I got it. So I finally go get the young man, and I bring him to the door, and then I hustle back to the car, and we toot, toot, toot the horn, and then we drive off. But the whole point that I'm talking about here with my dad was that, man, God has kept him, has kept his strength, and has kept him at a point where, man, he's got a lot of gusto. So I've seen that fifth benefit in action very recently. So recapping the benefits that God has given us, he said he would forgive us of all of our iniquities. He said he'd heal us from our diseases. He would rescue our life from the pit. He'd give us steadfast love and mercy. And he said he'd satisfy us. He said he would satisfy us with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. So all of these things, he gives us strength in our, even in our days, all the way through to the end, God will give us strength. So those are just some of the benefits of God. Not all, but just the five that are here are the benefits. And as I started with this, as I talked about who forgives all our iniquity, I started thinking about that, and I said that was our greatest benefit, that first one, that he forgives all of our iniquity. And a couple weeks ago, I was praying and spending some time with the Lord, and I've heard this like a million times. I grew up Baptist, you know, and I've heard it a gazillion times where people will say, you know, what Jesus did for us by getting on the cross, we were supposed to be up there. And it was at that time, man, I just started bawling because it was just so real to me at that. I've heard it, I understand it, but it became so, so, so real that what Jesus went through is what each of us was supposed to go through. And if you go back and read about what they did to Jesus from the time they got him from the garden, it wasn't pretty, you know, for people to, and it'd be a little bit different. We could probably in our head say, well, you know, we've sinned. We've done some things we're not supposed to. Jesus didn't do anything that he wasn't supposed to. And the fact that he took that beating, when we were on our little trip, there are these little things where you can kind of stick your head in and they take your picture, you know. When we were doing that, it made me think of what was going on now. It's like, man, I was supposed to be there. I was supposed to, We're supposed to be on that cross because we don't have anything to cover us from sin. God hates sin. And as a result of that, that's why Jesus got up there for us, to take that beating, to take the humiliation. They drug him down the street naked, basically. You couldn't tell what his head looked like because they had beat him so bad. He's bleeding, talking about him, spitting on him, pulling his beard. You know, it's just unfathomable evil stuff, which shows us what the devil thinks of each of us. And it doesn't matter how young or how old. That's who the devil is. But it was at that point that I really, really realized and saw myself up there on that cross deserving that. But Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." He stretched out, guys. I mean, and I, you know, I don't have, it's not something, I don't know if there's anything that I can say to a person right now at this time that helps them to really understand it until you humble yourself, cry out to God, and ask him to reveal himself to you. It is so real to me now what Jesus went through. Even though I've seen it from birth, don't matter until it's truly, truly revealed. And I'm not, you know, some would say, well, maybe you wasn't a real Christian. I'm not doubting whether or not I believe in God. I definitely believe in him and I trust in him. But certain things may not be revealed to you until a certain time. Seeing that for me changes certain things for me, big time, because I recognize now that I was supposed to take that humiliating. It's one thing to get beat down like that. It's another thing to get beat down in front of all humanity and have that story replayed over the last 2,000 years. And so that's the God that we serve that cares for us. Jesus Christ is God. He was man and he's God. He cares for us and he's given us benefits through his death on the cross. Now, I want to talk about one other thing before we shut this discussion down. We've talked about God cares. We've talked about the benefits. We went over those. But the other thing, if you would, go to 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6 through 8. And I'll talk a little bit while you guys are getting there. But there's at some time during this experience, as we recognize God cares for us and these benefits that we have, and as we're going through whatever it is that we have to, there's some things that are going to be required of each of us. And as I think and hope that I'm doing now, trying to encourage you guys, sometimes you may have to encourage yourself. And that's what we're going to talk about when we read here in 1 Samuel. In fact, if you would, instead of starting at the sixth verse, would you go to the first verse, please? The first verse. And that's 1 Samuel chapter 30. We're going to do verse 1, and then we'll go to 8. And I'll just read through this. It'll give you a little bit more. I was going to just talk about it, but we have time. I'll read through it. And so it says, does everybody have it? Amen? Okay, so it says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south. And Ziklag and had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power." Stay there. So it said, so what we saw here was that David, they had gone out to war, done some things, and the other group had come through, his enemies had come through, taken all their wives, their children. They didn't kill them, they took them off and burned the city. So then David and the people that were with him, they cried out, they lifted up their voices and wept. And it said, until they had no more power to weep. So I don't know if you remember, I remember, talked about catching whippings. Some of us caught them whippings where you can't breathe, where you... that's what it was saying that these people did. It said they wept. They couldn't even weep it. They didn't even have any more power to cry. They had cried out so much because obviously they didn't know exactly what had gone on. They knew the city was burned, whether or not their children, but David made some decisions. Let's go to the next verse. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam and Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughter. Then it says here, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Okay. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Amalek's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Okay, so what we saw here was what happened there where they cried until they couldn't cry anymore. The people were going to stone David. Okay, so here's a man knowing that these people are upset because their wives and their children are gone. And what does David do? It says he encourages himself. He encourages himself in the Lord. That's not an easy thing to do. Many would take off running. Like, okay, let me get away from these people before they kill me. What David does is he encourages himself in the Lord, and then he goes and seeks counsel. And that's what we have to do. There are times, again, things that we're all going that we all deal with at some point in life, that you're going to have to come to a point where you recognize, God, I'm going to have to encourage myself through this, because even though I know God is here and he hears me, I'm going to encourage myself, lift myself up off the ground, because there are times when we all want to quit. If we all truly admit it, there are times and things that we go through where you just want to quit, where you just want to stop, this all over with. I'm going to dig me a little circle in the woods and I'll go live there because I'm tired of all of this stuff. But when we encourage ourselves in the Lord, we can continue on and manage those things that we need to manage. Just as it said, he went out and found counsel. And the counsel that he got from the Lord told him to go and pursue him. And then he won back the day, basically, by getting revenge on those people that burned their city down, bringing all of their people back. So we have to recognize that when, again, we're down in that pit, that God is going to, he's surely going to bring us and take us up out of that pit to get us to where it is that we need to be. So as I close, when I was in the Boy Scouts of America as a kid, there was a saying that we had. And the saying went, a winner never quits and a quitter never wins. So as we know that God cares for us and we know about his benefits, we just read where David was in a position where he could have just shut it down. Man, I'm out of here. I did all I can. These people are trying to kill me. They're trying to stone me. I'm out of here. But that's not what he did, because he was a winner. It says he never quit. David had troubles in his life, but he was a winner. He never quit, and quitters, but he recognized that quitters never win. And our job as followers of Jesus Christ is to endure till the end, because we don't get the prize. You don't get the adoption into the family until you endure to the end. Do not think that I came up, somebody prayed a prayer over me, I said some words, and I'm all good. Be encouraged. Keep your faith. Keep your confession before God. Whatever it is that you confess before God, and if you're a Christian, you confess that you believe that Jesus lived a perfect life, got up on that cross and died, was down in hell, defeated it, rose, was seen by more than 500 witnesses, and ascended to heaven and is seated on the right hand of God. That's what we're supposed to believe. And if that's not what you confessed, you might want to check your confession or add something to it or however you're going to do that, because that is so important, and that we must take to the grave. We can't get to 80 and say, I'm going to start doing whatever it is I want to do. You have to continue on. You have to stay a soldier, as they mentioned earlier, about the business of taking care of God's kingdom. You can't say, okay, I'm 80 now, I'm going to live however I want to live, I've done enough. God, No. You have to endure it all the way out to the end. We run to win the race. We don't run just to be in it. As Christians, we run to win it. Now, it might not mean that you have the biggest house or the biggest whatever or the nicest whatever, and that don't matter to God anyway. You already talked about you don't care about your money. You don't need that to take care of the things that he needs to take care of. However, we cannot quit. We must be about God's business all the way to the end until adoption, That means when we have eternal life with him and we've completed our course here on this earth. So I just want everyone to be encouraged about the fact that God cares for us. We all have benefits that he has set aside for us that we read through here, but we just must recognize that we have to endure to the end. A winner never quits. A quitter never wins. We don't try Jesus. We live for Jesus. We don't have a religion. We have a lifestyle that reflects that we live for the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want everyone to be encouraged. Keep your faith. Keep your head up. Again, if you're in this ministry and if you're listening, this place is good ground and fertile soil. I believe it. I've seen it. It has worked for me and my family. It will work for you, not because of Jesus Christ as Lord ministry, but because of Christ. And so I just want everyone to be encouraged. Whatever you're going through, recognize that God has the answers for it and recognize that he is a good God and that he loves you as well and that God cares. Amen? Amen.